Hawaii's affordable housing crisis is cited again and again as one of the state's most pressing problems. But when it comes down to actually creating or sustaining housing for low-income families, developers are often reluctant to jump in. A lawsuit filed by tenants of a Lahaina affordable housing project has become a bellwether case for the future of affordable housing in Hawaii. Victor Geminiani, an attorney with Lawyers for Equal Justice, is representing some of the plaintiffs, residents of Front Street Apartments in Lahaina, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning, Victor.
Good
Thanks
morning.
For coming in.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Let's set the stage here. How many units are we talking about? How many people are affected? What was their deal when they moved into this apartment complex?
Well, the apartments were built in about 2001-2002 with about $15 million of tax credit, federal and state tax credit money, and to help financing the 142 units, the totality of the project. It has a neighborhood of about 300 plus tenants. They're all very low income. 50% of the units have to be rented for people at 60% or AMI and below. That's area median income. By the way, that
is area what?
Area median income.
Okay.
Determines eligibility. Mm-hmm. And that figure, by the way, is somewhere in the neighborhood of $45,000 for one person and about $55,000 for a family of four. So if half of the apartments have to go to people eligible at that income level. The other half of the apartments, 70 units, have to go to people that are even in more low income. They're 50% of AMI or below. So they're primarily seniors, a lot of disabilities. A lot of people that are working two or three jobs trying to survive and really have no affordable housing in terms of options to relocate to once this property, if in fact it happens, goes private. And marketplace rents will be charged, and that'll be August of next year, 2019.
Well, what have they got now, and what are they paying now?
Well, they're paying the prices that are set based upon the AMI, and right now the one bedroom is probably going for the neighborhood of $900. That one bedroom, I think, is being advertised now for about $1,800 when it turns over. Every time one of these units is vacated currently, they're turned over to marketplace. So slowly but surely, there are more marketplace units being rented. So most of the tenants are paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $800 to $1,200 for their apartments, and most of them are studios and one bedrooms. There's some two bedrooms, but not too many.
This reminds me. I don't know if this is an accurate parallel to rent control in New York, where developers wait for people to, you know, age out of apartments that are way inexpensive compared to what they could get.
Yeah. Basically, the owners have, after 15 years, having first promised back in 2000-2001 when they got the benefits of the financing that I've discussed, including, by the way, tax breaks, real property tax breaks from the county to entice them to build the project and keep it affordable. They entered into an agreement to keep the place affordable for 51 years. That was the terms of the tax credits, although the IRS gave them the right. The IRS, Internal Revenue Code, is the one that controls over the process that the tax credits are given out and allow people to get out of the agreements they made if they so choose. That allows an opt-out in 15 years if certain things are done, but it have to be done very appropriately. So the bottom line is...
It allows the developer to opt out of that commitment.
Exactly.
To keep it affordable.
So what happened is the owner, in after 15 years, opted out using that loophole. The financing agency in our state is the Hawaii Housing Finance and Development Corporation, HHFDC. They were responsible for trying to sell this property to someone that would keep it affordable. It was not sold after a year. And immediately after the year, the obligations to keep this place affordable evaporated. The conditions are that any tenant that's currently there has three more years of grace. And at the end of that three-year period of time, the place goes marketplace. The other deal is that any vacancy that occurs during this period of time, and it's been 2 years now, we have one more year left to go, it becomes marketplace immediately. And I just want to stress, these are 142 units on Front Street. Anybody that knows about Lahaina, it's the middle of Lahaina. It's very valuable piece of property.
Sure.
Not worth a lot more than when it was originally acquired to build affordable housing.
Help me understand. Let me just get you to circle back to the IRS. Sound like a kind of a loophole that allowed them to renege or back out of this 50-year commitment. Explain that to me.
Well, the IRS, it's no longer an available loophole, by the way. It's been plugged. But the IRS regulation that created the financing mechanism for tax credits allowed an owner after 15 years to opt out of the process of having the property be regulated. But to do that, the fund financing agency, and again here it's HHFDC, has to try to sell this property for a year to try to keep it affordable. For a variety of reasons, we contend that the opting out was illegal. They could not do it. There were a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that in 2001, when the property was originally built, the owner entered into a covenant that ran with the land that promised it would be kept affordable for 51 years. So they can't at this point opt out of an agreement they made with the covenant that runs with their land based upon an IRS right to opt out. Those are two separate
Your argument is that the covenant, the promise to the tenants that they would be okay for 51 years, that still holds.
Exactly. It was waived by HHFDC after the year attempt to sell, and we think that was inappropriate, illegal. No one knew that waiver was about to occur.
If you own a property on Front Street in Lahaina, this potentially could make you a lot of money. There's a very powerful incentive.
Tremendous.
And you know, if I'm coming from the place of a developer, to be charging less than $1,000 a month rent on Front Street in Lahaina is absurd.
I agree. Let me give you an extent of the profit that can be made. This property was appraised in 2015 by the owner for about $8.6 million. As they were going through the opt-out process, they had to appraise it. This property now, according to the owner and testimony that was submitted in court or in legislature over Senate Bill 2293, which was a bill to try to bail out Front Street Apartments, testified on two occasions in writing that the property now is valued at somewhere between $32 and $52 million. Because the property now is able to be converted to marketplace, which means the requirements that you were pointing out to keep it to low income would be evaporated. The owner can charge whatever they want. So the profit in 4 years has basically gone from $8.6 million, apparently, at least in the owner's eyes, to at least $32 million and maybe $52 million.
That's based on being able to charge whatever you
exactly,
want.
Exactly, because the restrictions on affordability have been removed. Theoretically, our lawsuit would say no.
I'm still having trouble understanding that removal that you described.
Well, the IRS allows it to happen, but also requires it be done in a certain way, because you want to maximize the opportunity for the property to remain affordable, since you made this investment in the property, by trying to find some nonprofit developer or owner or manager that would buy the property, potentially with support from the state and county, subsidized, to keep the rents low. So that's what the year is.
That's what the 1 year was.
That's what the 1 year is for. Unfortunately, the property was not in a very transparent way up for sale. No one in the county knew about it. No one in the state knew about it that I know of, except HHFDC. And the tenants never knew about it until after the year it evaporated. So another cause of action we have is that the process that the HHFDC was required to use to try to offer this property and maintain it as affordable was not done appropriately.
Is there somewhere in this, I would think there would be a provision that in the event of a sale, there would be a good faith effort to make that sale. That's seem to be arguing that there was not a good faith effort.
The core of an attempt to keep a property affordable is that there'll be a very good and aggressive, in our opinion, effort to advertise the availability of this property to make sure that the figures that are being used in the advertisement will be able to entice people in to actually have the negotiations and to go ahead and notify everybody that you can notify in the political process and certainly the tenants to see if the state and county can come together and come up with some kind of agreement to buy. This property, by the way, just to tell you, it's a great deal. Even at, I think, an inflated price, because the contract price that the owner advertised it for was $15.6 million. Remember, the appraised value is $8.6 million. Complicated how it got to that figure, but the advertisement clearly didn't entice a lot of people in. On top of that, you couldn't build 142 units in Maui and Front Street Apartments for $50 million. So for $15 million, it would have been a great deal for the county and state to come together and say, well, you know, we thought we had this preserved for the rest of our lives. We will buy it, and it will be preserved for the rest of our lives as affordable housing. So, and part of our lawsuit is directed at resetting the process. If, in fact, a judge feels that the process was not aggressive, was not transparent, was not within the good faith attempt to try to move this property into affordability for permanent times, there'll be a reset, i.e. another attempt to resell or opt out of this property, and therefore we'll have a year at least to get our act together to try to figure out how to really deal with the problem long term. It's not only preservation of housing for these 300 people. It's preservation of affordable housing on Maui for another 36 years.
Yeah, that's the question in my mind, Vic, is what does this tell you? If you're part of the effort to create more affordable housing for people who live in Hawaii, what does this case tell you?
Well, it tells you you should work at both ends. You ought to be trying to build as much affordable housing, and I can talk at length about the problems in Maui in terms of affordable housing with statistics, but you got to start building a much more affordable housing we have. But at the same time, you ought to be preserving all of the affordable housing you currently have. Do everything you possibly can to maintain all of your affordable housing so you're not building on one side but draining on the other side. So in my opinion, one of the major concentrations of the state should always be to explore really deeply any privatization or any movement towards taking affordable housing out of the normal relationships and shifting them over to private owners and private developers. It's a mistake.
I have a feeling we're going to be hearing more about this, but thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, thank you.
Victor Geminiani is an attorney with Lawyers for Equal Justice, representing residents of Front Street Apartments in Lahaina. And you can learn more about the pending litigation on our conversation Facebook page.